Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast, The New Talk. This is podcast 352. I am live from El Capitan State Park here in California on the Pacific Coast. It is sundown. The sky is kind of a golden blue hue, and the ocean is blue and getting darker as we speak. And they're going to, of course, kick me out of the park here because we just parked. There's no place to camp here. This has been a sort of an exodus from L.A. today. It's beautiful here. I mean, it's just pristine, and this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to do the podcast this evening from kind of an outdoor location just at sundown, so this is perfect. So I'm pretty excited about that. And I had planned to do some updates because, you know, it's coming up on the weekend, and I thought, well, I'll do some news updates for the weekend. You know, the Iran thing is blowing up again, and the guy was shot in the back by the police and running away, and everyone's all up in arms about that. These are the momentary outrages. The thing about when the wheels get rolling, so when you start traveling and the wheels get rolling, that stuff has a tendency to drop away. And I, of course, I go back and forth because one part of me believes that I should really be on that stuff, and the other part of me that's traveling doesn't even care. So this podcast, podcast 352, is of course sponsored by Autonomous CAD, one of my favorite sponsors at the Bob Davis Podcasts. You know, in a word, autonomous means to act independently or having the freedom to do so. And CAD, of course, means computer-aided design. So to explain what autonomous, a lot of people say, well, what is this Autonomous CAD? What is it? And I guess to explain it and explain what Autonomous CAD actually does, I'm going to tell you a story. And the story is as follows. A couple of regular guys had a passion for restoring old bicycles, but they had a problem. These were 1920s and later bicycles. They weren't able to find parts that they needed to get the job done. So they were kind of at a dead end. They figured out they were going to have to create and manufacture new parts. The problem was manufacturers did not have the time to design and develop new parts. So the costs to do this were just too high and the lead times too long. And this is where Autonomous CAD comes in. So if you're in any kind of business where you need parts, any kind of business where you're creating a concept or an idea from scratch, listen up because this really is for you. Casey from Autonomous CAD simply scanned the parts the bike guys needed and created a 3D file. They were able to take that file to any manufacturer and get the parts they needed manufactured quickly and at a lower cost. Why? Because Autonomous CAD simply scanned the parts, creating a CAD file the manufacturer can use to make new parts immediately, which cuts out the design and development step a lot of manufacturing companies have, which is what costs all the money. And that so that really saved the cost structure of what these guys are trying to do. Plus, you get your files from Autonomous CAD so you can choose to get it manufactured anywhere you want. Autonomous CAD will also 3D print prototype parts so you can actually fit the part onto what you need first and see if it works or get the feel of the part before you manufacture, which again, saves money and steps. By the way, 3D printed parts aren't just knickknacks anymore. Autonomous CAD can print usable prototypes too, depending on the material that you need. And of course, Autonomous CAD can print working parts on the 3D printer, depending on the material needed. What does Autonomous CAD mean for you? Well, if you have an idea that you need help with in terms of design, if you have an invention that you want to bring into the world, if you need parts for a car, a bicycle, or some other project that are no longer available, and you're told manufacturing them would simply cost too much, if you have a unique idea or invention you want to manufacture and need help with design and development, Autonomous CAD can scan, design, 3D print, prototype, and help you manufacture what you need at low lead times and lower costs, all the while guaranteeing the project is yours and only yours through the whole process. Autonomous CAD uses technology to help you do what you've always dreamed of doing, whether it's restoring old bicycles or an old car you love, which are two actual examples in the world, or developing a world-class invention, which is also another actual example with Autonomous CAD. Autonomous CAD's years of experience in computer-aided design, reverse engineering, scanning, and manufacturing means that your idea can become something real, something you could sell very quickly. The fastest path from your mind to the ability to manufacture is Autonomous CAD. It's that simple. Like I said, independence, freedom, Autonomous CAD. So here's what you do. Call Casey at Autonomous CAD. Call 651-308-5047, 651-308-5047, or you can check out AutonomousCAD.com, AutonomousCAD.com, or you can click on the Autonomous CAD banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast. You know, I went on longer than I normally would, but this is such a cool thing that I want people to know about it. I want to be able to explain it properly because it's such a great idea. And Casey's already had people call him, and they're already creating things that they never thought possible. So it's really worth checking into. And I love it because it brings in the whole technology angle that I talk about a lot. And I'll be talking about that, by the way, April 25th and at Chanhassen at, I believe, the SD48. I hope it's not 49. I got an email today. I didn't read it yet, so I'm sorry, but I'm pretty sure it's the SD48 extravaganza this year at the Chanhassen Dinner Theater in Chanhassen. And I should mention that technology comes up a lot. It's coming up a lot when I'm on the road. It's coming up a lot in my discussions. It's coming up a lot in things I'm encountering. And you'll hear me talk about some of this stuff in this podcast, whether it's development stuff in L.A. or the way people are working in L.A. or just being able to do what I'm doing, which is just kind of tour and see things and see what people are doing and go to these different places. Technology plays such a huge role. As the evening sort of leads on here, the sky is deepening in its color, so now we are getting close to that beautiful azure, that sort of dark blue, although it's still light, and then golden sunshine in the distance. Here in the Golden State, we are currently on the 405 in Los Angeles, which is at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It is really backed up solid. We're about a mile from the 10, which will take us to the Pacific Coast Highway, leaving Los Angeles, California. And I got to tell you, I have to say that this is a very interesting place for a lot of reasons. You know, the weather is one of them. I mean, the weather is what draws people out here. This is the Golden Land. The weather is perfect all the time. It's like September. Every day is like September in the Midwest, you know, here. And it's deceptive and strange and weird. And I did all, you know, you'll refer to the podcast about freelance work. Almost everybody's at the Starbucks, and by the way, I just want people to know, no, I know that people actually work in Los Angeles. I know that people go to office buildings. I know that people work in service jobs, and they work their 8 and 9, 10 hours, whatever, and I'm well aware of that. It's just where I was, everybody's working on projects at home or at the Starbucks or at restaurants. And the other thing that's weird, it's a big city, so it's the same thing in Chicago when you go out. But I got to tell you, on Monday night, we went out, and I mean, restaurants are packed. People are out all the time. It's really interesting in that respect. So there's a lot of activity, and there's a lot of different parts of town. The other thing is, everybody's like, well, why don't you go here and why don't you go there? Well, going here and going there turns into a gigantic project because of the traffic. So traffic is a huge issue in this town, and people pretty much just stay in their neighborhoods because they don't want to mess around with it. They just stay in their neighborhoods. Got to change lanes real quick in the ambulance. Can cause problems because this thing is gigantic. But people do get out of your way, which is good. I find the drivers of Los Angeles to be excellent. There isn't any of this hanging around in the left lane stuff like we do in the Midwest, where it's like, this is my lane. You can't have to go around me because this is my lane. I'm in the left lane and I'm not speeding. Here, if you hang in the left lane, something is banging around back there. I have no idea what it is. I'm going to have to stop and check that out. But if you hang around in the left lane, you're crushed. You are going to be crushed. So the drivers in L.A. are really on it, and we will give them credit for that. It's an interesting place because it's pretty much a city that is a suburb, the whole thing. It's like everything is like St. Louis Park. Except it's not. Everything is like Maple Grove or Maple Wood, but it's not. So it's just weird because, you know, you go into these suburban developments and these houses are like $4 or $5 million. It's just bizarre. And, you know, close in places like Ventura and, you know, obviously Beverly Hills is really something. Places like that were built a long time ago and were really islands. They were separate from everything else. And now the city is growing up around them, and now their big challenge is we don't have any more space, so how are we going to add people? And the water thing is, you know, really a problem. And then there's all these other places very quickly that you can go. Newport is amazing. Laguna is amazing. And then as we go up the Pacific Coast Highway, I'll have more to say. I haven't been up the PCH in a long time, probably at least 20 years, maybe more. So I'm sure lots has changed. But this is just the thing that people, and I guess I'm saying this to myself, not you shouldn't realize this because why would you have to? You know, California, this is just one part of California. This is not, this is just one part of California. So we're going to head into another part of California, which actually is completely different from this part of California. And then I didn't even go to San Diego. So San Diego is a whole different kind of thing. And you heard my comments about coming in from, you know, Arizona as you get through the eastern part of California. That's also a whole different mix up there, over there, whatever it is. I don't know what there, how you describe there, but, that's pretty much it. So leaving L.A., heading up the PCH, right now headed towards Santa Monica on the 10. I like how everyone refers to everything as the. It's the 405. And as someone explained to me, now traffic is thinning out and it's a lot easier. As someone explained to me, the 405 is no joke. That's what I was told. You keep your hands on the wheel. You keep both hands on the wheel at all times on the 405 because it's no joke. People are, you know, anything can happen. It's a dangerous highway and the 405 is no joke. Which reminds me of the Dan Ryan in Chicago, which is also a highway that is no joke. And no, there are no highways that compare to this in Minneapolis, St. Paul, or Madison, or Seattle, or anything like that. This is really the granddaddy of all highway towns. It's amazing. The freeways are huge and amazing, and everything is behind walls, and it's nuts. So now in my quest to find a place by the beach, I've ended up in Santa Barbara, driving through, trying to find sort of downtowns, at least get to the beach in Santa Barbara. And, I've been here a couple times, and this is like the most perfect place, the most perfect town on the planet. This place is just ridiculous. The ghetto is perfect in Santa Barbara. I got off the freeway on the ghetto, and it's perfect. It's a perfect ghetto. Well, I don't think it was a ghetto, but who knows? There are no ghettos in Santa Barbara, but this place is just unbelievable. And I have no idea where I am. I'm just cruising the little city streets of Santa Barbara. The trees intersect over the street. These perfect trees intersect over the street, and it's just this amazing, perfect town. Everywhere you look, it's perfect. It's nuts. And so I'm kind of cruising along here trying to figure out how to get to what I know is downtown Santa Barbara. This place is a movie set. I mean, more so even than Los Angeles. Santa Barbara is fantasy land. I mean, it's way bigger than it was the last time I was here. Secondly, I guess I don't know what this is. This looks like Santa Barbara City Hall, so I must be at ground zero. Yeah. So I'm at the county seat, Santa Barbara County. So I'm right here. And this place is the perfection. The people are perfect. It's amazing. It's perfect. It's a perfect town. So I hardly would say that this is a typical American town. This is a perfect American town. And my plan was to go down to the beach and podcast from the beach, but I may have to do that. See, this Pacific Coast Highway journey is quite a long journey once you get past. Here we are on State Street, so we'll just take State. This is probably about as good as it gets in terms of the main street in Santa Barbara. Yeah, here's Symphony Hall. I mean, if you could see what I'm seeing, it looks like a movie. It looks like there's no town in America that's this perfect except Santa Barbara. There's just no place in the world. Any other town you go to, there's like little areas where things aren't perfect. Maybe there's a broken window here and there. Maybe there's an ugly person here and there. But this place is like perfect. Everywhere you go, it's perfect. And I've been driving around the town for the last 10 minutes. So I can tell you that The movie theaters are perfect. I mean, it's unbelievable. I love it. I love Santa Barbara. And I love its perfection. It's great. But the last time we were here, I remember just driving through. It was like, it didn't feel like you had this. It feels like a city now. But Opal Restaurant and Bar. Kaleidoscope Flowers. 1329 Salon and Spa. 1324 Arlington Plaza. Sola Street. I'm at the corner of Sola and State in Santa Barbara, where an infestation of grasshoppers has threatened the equilibrium of this perfect town. The Nail Palace. Ah, yes, there's the Buddhist Center. And, of course, my diesel engine is just splitting the serenity of Bill's Yoga Shop. Now, there's a creative name. Splitting the serenity of this perfect place. Wow. So I just parked a I just passed this gigantic RV park thing, and there must have been 100 like RVs parked by the side of the road up here on the Pacific Coast Highway on the beach, and so I am actually going to park and go down to the beach because we should do that. I got to get out and see if it's actually cold out here, so we're going to do that right now. And I'm going to turn the power off because I don't want to run the batteries down standby. Okay, so that's off. And we got to, there's just a few procedures that need to be followed when we're doing all these things. So I can turn the power back on here shortly. Okay, so that's off. And the truth is that all this winter, you know, this is really where I wanted to be. Right here in the rocks on the PCH. And there's a million places like this all along. You drive along and you're just like, I want to stop there. No, I want to stop there. No, I want to stop there. I want to stop there. No, wait, I want to stop there. And it's really gorgeous. Beautiful. So I'm standing on this rock escarpment, which is just massive. And you really can't get down to the beach. Because I don't feel like rock climbing to get down to the beach. And so people just sit up here. They hang. Now up the road there where all the RVs are, that has, well, it doesn't look like it has too much beach access. But, you know, there's surfers and stuff. It's so weird because I was just in Ventura and it felt cold. And now I'm down here on the beach and it feels wonderful. The big problem in California is development. They're actually worried that they're going to have too many people coming here, that they're still projected to grow. I mentioned Los Angeles briefly. And, of course, that's just one little thing that I saw. So I don't know if that's actually the prevailing point of view. And I don't know that if it's the correct point of view. But the population is expected to continue to grow in Los Angeles by, you know, another 25% over the next 15, 20 years. And they have nowhere to put them, supposedly. So there's a huge question about development. And, of course, people who have money want to live in decent locations, and if there's no houses, it drives property values up. And of course, the natural reaction is to control it, which drives the prices up even further, which actually makes it even more attractive because it's the whole idea that you'll make money on your real estate. So, but when you drive through these towns, you know, I don't want to say, I mean, coming from a sort of a libertarian perspective, it's hard to believe that all the regulation and rules and controls. There was one street corner I passed in Santa Barbara where, you know, when the pedestrian steps out on the street, these amber strobes go off, and it's like, what the hell? And then it's just, it's someone is stepping into the street, and everybody has to stop, and they just sit here. I mean, they just sit there, and they don't know where to go or what to do, and it's, you know, it's very interesting. I mean, there's a lot of rules in California. There's rules on water usage, obviously. There's rules on, you know, a lot of really interesting traffic rules and parking rules, and life can be, I mean, I can understand why people are just kind of exasperated sometimes out here, because just going to the Starbucks turns into a, you know, in LA turns into a 25-minute. We went out this morning. My son was like, let's go get Starbucks and maybe we'll get breakfast someplace. Okay. So we went out, and it took us a half an hour to get oriented so that we could find a place to park and go to this restaurant. And then we had to go get some Starbucks for somebody else that were taking it back up to the house. And it took another 25 minutes to get situated to park properly at the Starbucks so we could go in. And we went to the wrong – first we went to one that was – the line was too long, so we skipped that one. Starbucks lines are epic. And then we went to another one, which didn't have such a long line. That took another 25 minutes. So what started out as a quick Starbucks and breakfast run turned into a horrific 45-minute to an hour-long. Well, it's more than that if you include breakfast. You know, it's 2 hours. And I wanted to leave. And, of course, he wanted to go get back to work. And it was just, you know, typical. And this is what happens. So it's an interesting, you know, situation, except for it's such an amazingly beautiful place. It has just amazing weather and vistas, and it's amazing. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. It's the most, probably the most beautiful state. You know, if you go out west, Utah, you know, I mean, I could go on. I mean, every state has its beauty. There's no question about it. But California is truly stunning. Right now, I'm looking at the ocean, which is, the sun is shining off the ocean. And I am still on the 101, but now it's no longer a freeway. So hopefully I can find a little inlet here. And I'm going to put all this together and, you know, put the podcast to bed for the evening before sundown so you guys can have something to listen to this weekend. And, you know, you're looking out across the ocean. You see all these oil rigs. You see ships. And then you look the other direction and you're looking at this beautiful sort of golden green landscape with the sun setting on it, with that, I mean, I don't even know the plants. I couldn't really describe it effectively. And it's breathtaking, you know, and the part of the 101 that I'm on, you know, this leads to the actual part of the Pacific Coast Highway that goes up to Carmel by the Sea, all the way up, you know, Big Sur, all the way up to San Francisco. And that is truly breathtaking. You know, where I was before is breathtaking, but when you get north of, I guess it's San Luis Obispo, where we're going to stop and upload, you get into this truly picturesque, unbelievable landscape that we just don't see this kind of drama in the Midwest. We don't see this kind of dramatic landscape in the Midwest. Occasionally, when you drive across farmland, you do, but again, you know, on one side, it's farmland or horse land or, you know, El Capitan State Beach is where we are. I'm cutting over because I want to do this now. So this is where I'm going to hang out for a little while. So we're heading to El Capitan State Beach. Howdy.
Hi.
I'm just going to park. I'm not going to camp.
All right, it is a $10
parking fee,
and we're only
going to
be open for about another hour.
Okay, that works. So happen I have a 20.
What?
I just happen to have a 20.
Okay. $10 is the change.
Thank you.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. 8 months.
It took 8 months to get here from Mexico?
Yeah. Well, San Francisco, but still.
Oh, they went to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Oh, so this is the path right here. Wow. So they established the Presidio there.
Yeah.
That was the idea. Wow. That's interesting. That is the story of Commander Batista of Mexico, who brought his people from Mexico all the way up to the Presidio in San Francisco, which is an interesting thing here in California because there's so many Latinos. So, you know, people, they used to actually call the early settlers from Mexico of California, Californios. So it's always interesting to point out that people from south of the border have been in this part of the country since before. This expedition took place in 1776. So there were people here. We think of it, and we're taught, you know, some of us in our history, that this place was, you know, absolutely pristine and that nobody was here until we got here, which is not true. But everyone's here now, so, right? Isn't that, what's the last line of The Last of the Mohicans? You know? I'm the last of the Mohicans. After me, there will be no more. You know, someday new people will come, and they will say it is their land. But we were here, too. That's what he says at the end. Anyway, I don't know. It's movie. Welcome back to Movie Philosophy with Bob Davis, live from El Capitan. Happy sunset from El Capitan in California on the coast, and we're headed north from here. Well, I'm not going to go on and on again about autonomouscad.com because I did at the beginning of the podcast. But let me just say, if you have an idea, if you have a part that needs to be manufactured that's really old and you can't find any design for, just remember Autonomous CAD. It's the fastest path from your mind to the ability to manufacture. It's that simple. If you want to know all the details, go back and listen to the ad in this podcast because it explains it. Just remember, independence and freedom can be granted to you through the use of Autonomous CAD and the technology that they use, and it's great, and it's for regular folks. This isn't some, you know, rich guy thing. This is for people that have ideas. This is for people manufacturing parts. This is for people doing cool things that people do. Call Casey at Autonomous CAD, 651-308-5047. And don't forget to check out AutonomousCAD.com, AutonomousCAD.com. Or you can click on the Autonomous CAD banner at the top of the BobDavisPodcast.com. And in the fading light, let me thank the digital sponsors of the Bob Davis Podcast, Mad Case Studios, which specializes in quality original automotive artwork. You know, people have been commenting on my Facebook page about how amazing Mad Case Studios is. And the bottom line is, if you have a car that you always loved, or you wanted a painting of a car, a piece of original artwork of a car that you always just thought was the greatest thing ever, Mad Case Studios is where you need to go. All you have to do is click on the banner at the top of the BobDavisPodcast.com for more info. That takes you to Mad Case's Facebook page, and you can interact with Ken Madden and find out just exactly what they do. But take my word for it. They do great stuff. Also, thank you guys for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, or TuneIn. I am officially thanking Chris Broberg. He did not ask me to, but I'm thanking you, Chris. Chris donated like $150 a while back. I did thank him then, but when I did the whole list, I forgot Chris, so I'm throwing that in there. And of course, thanks for liking, sharing, and favoriting, and following on Facebook and Twitter. I'm on Instagram, and I'm punching up a lot of pictures from the trip on Instagram, and it's bdavis7843 if you want to follow me on Instagram. Thanks for following and all that stuff on Twitter, and thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts at thebobdavispodcast.com. Somebody mentioned the iTunes being slow. iTunes has a 24-hour delay on podcasts. And a lot of people don't realize that. It's just the way the infrastructure works. I think Stitcher's like that to a certain degree, and I know TuneIn is like that. So there's always a delay. You can listen to the podcast right on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. You can also subscribe to the RSS feed right there on the page, and it will do the rest for you. So you should check that out. I'm going to get back on the road. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 352. Live from El Capitan in California on the coast. Pop.